This is Jazz of Enchantment, a radio series spotlighting just some of the talented jazz players with ties to New Mexico. I'm Paul Ingalls. When David Parlato plays his large acoustic bass, he embraces it in more ways than one. Since the age of 19, when a dental mishap ended his trumpet playing days, Parlato and his bass have been partners in a musical career that has included many years as one of the top session players in Los Angeles. Since moving to New Mexico in 1990, Parlato has been a major contributor to the Southwest's music scene as a composer, player, and teacher. David Parlato told interviewer Mark Weber about this one particular record that seemed to set his life as a musician in motion.
I bought this record of Cannonball Adderley Quintet Plus. The Plus was Victor Feldman on vibes. And Cannonball Adderley is, as you know, the great alto saxophonist and his brother Nat Adderley. But when I put it on, that grabbed me. That was like a real moment for me. In the music room that we had, I would put that record on, turn all the lights off, and lay on this couch and close my eyes and listen to that music, you know. And I've never gotten tired of that album at all, you know. So that became the doorway in, you know. And it wasn't long before I was doing the same thing with all the Miles albums I could get and all the Coltrane albums I could get. Those were like really the big influences.
In the jazz world, most bass players are classically trained. Bass players, it's almost a necessity.
It really is. I mean, to learn the instrument, you really need to play with a bow because the intonation will be exposed. And it's just physically very demanding, very difficult, and you need to get with somebody who's studied it, and they've all, you know, it's a tradition that gets passed down, and it's a classical approach to the instrument. I have seen self-taught bass players that played very well. You know, they played by ear and they just made up their fingerings and things like that, you know. But for the most part, I think you're right. I think, you know, the instrument just kind of demands that.
You made one of the greatest jazz records of all time, Knee Plus Ultra, with Warren Marsh Quartet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was a good bit younger, maybe half their age, really. But I was, you know, making a reputation for myself, and the jam sessions started to include me. And then I just became the bass player in this chordless quartet with John Terabasso on drums and Gary Foster and Warren Marsh.
Tell when you were making that record that it was as good as it was?
Well, I knew that it was a historical thing to be playing with those guys, you know, and it was a great opportunity for me.
Yeah, because jazz was getting, by 1969, when you made that record, there weren't a whole lot of jazz records being made.
Yeah.
Rock and roll had taken over.
Yeah.
But in the 60s rock, you did wind up playing with people like Frank Zappa.
Mm-hmm. I did so well on the audition and got the gig And Frank said, let me have your book. So he took the book. And the next rehearsal, where I had previously been resting, I now was doubling oboes. I had parts that were like ridiculously difficult to play. You know, I looked at him and I said, what is all this about? You know, and he said, you read through the book too easily. He said, I want everybody in the band to think that they're going to make their parts 7 out of 10 times. He said, I want that kind of anxiety in the band, you know.
Seriously?
Yeah. Frank was a very, very demanding composer.
David, from all these people you've played with, from Don Ellis, Frank Strazzeri, Paul Horn, John Klemmer, Tim Weisberg, Ashish Khan, Ala Raka, Emil Richards, Don Preston, Gabor Szabo, were all these occasions to play with these great, great musicians, did they impart anything to you? Did you have any kind of a growing situation being around them?
Well, sure. Most of the time, you know, I felt like I was in over my head. Do you know what I mean? I was coming into something that was evolved already. I was getting the opportunity because I was the young hot player at the time. I was perceived that way. So let's call him, you know. And usually in a talent pool like Los Angeles, it would be that, you know, like for a while, I followed Albert Stinson around. In other words, like if they couldn't get Albert, Albert would call me, or I would go where he was playing because he was going to leave that situation and go somewhere else, and I would play in place of him. You know, so by word of mouth, you get a reputation that like you're somebody to call. So I would get in these situations. Now, to answer your question, the growth came from my realizing what I needed to work on, what I needed to do to be able to be better the next time I would get that opportunity. And the growth came from being given the opportunity to respond to what these people were already doing. In other words, it was already together and organized, these things that I would come and play in, almost every one of them. And I would bring my energy and I would listen and figure out what should I do in this situation on the bass to make this music happen, you know. Sometimes I was better at it than others, you know, and the learning experience was getting a critique from somebody who was older in that band explaining, hey, kid, this is what you need to do if that happens again, you know. So, and expanding my repertoire, that was always, if anything, I would realize that, you know, there were like hundreds of tunes that people knew, and each group knew different hundreds of tunes. So it was very, very, you know, challenging in that way. So usually it was like being humbled in a certain sense and being given the opportunity to express myself, which would lead to more confidence and more opportunities to express myself, and realizing the homework that I needed to take care of.
Let's listen to this recording of the Outpost Repertory Jazz Orchestra, a composition of your own, entitled Abraxas. The arrangement is David Parlato's as well. And your daughter told me that was the name of a dog you guys had.
Right.
Abraxas. But tell us about the music and the band and
sure.
What we're going to listen to.
Abraxas is in 3-4, and it's Abraxas is a Gnostic god of both light and darkness at the same time. Therefore, this piece vacillates between major, D major and D minor. That was my concept for the piece. And there are many developmental things that I attempted in the piece, which I was very pleased with. And it is a 17-piece band with a brass section, an unusual brass section of a tuba, a trombone, and two trumpets, and a full rhythm section and a full woodwind section. So I hope you enjoy it.
That was Abraxas, composition by our guest today, David Parlato, with his Outpost Repertory Jazz Orchestra, recorded in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Right now we're going to listen to our guest today, David Parlato, on bass with one of his main compatriots in the music world of New Mexico, Michael Anthony, on guitar. This is a duet situation that they call Woody and Boomer, and they're going to be working over a Charlie Parker line called Scrapple from the Apple.
I just want to say that it's been a real pleasure to make music with Mr. Michael Anthony in many different settings for many years.
David, tell us about this Glenn Koster record. I am absolutely totally in the dark about that.
Well, over the past 3 years, I would say, Glenn Koster on saxophones, various saxophones, and John Bartlett on various drum kit and extended percussion ideas, myself on bass. We've had a trio, and we've done a lot of playing together and some gigging and concertizing, and we did finally make a recording. And the recording is Trifling, and we is the title of it. And we're going to listen to a track called Beatrice by Sam Rivers. Thank you. And what's interesting about it, and challenging for me, again, is that there's no piano and no guitar. It's just the bass, the drums, and the horn. And so it's really great interaction.
David Parlato, after all these years of playing music, what is it that still attracts you to the whole thing?
I think the art of improvisation and everything that it entails. You have to be in shape, musically speaking. You have to be listening and aware. You have to be open-minded. You have to have the opportunities, you know, to be in those kinds of situations. So I do think that that's my... everything lines up around that to allow that to happen for myself. And that's the attraction still for me. And I have every confidence that as long as I can play, that that will be there. The art of improvisation.
Bass player David Parlato, heard here with pianist Peter Cover. David was interviewed by Mark Weber. To learn more about David Parlato and to hear much more from our interview session, visit our website, newmexicojazz.org. That's newmexicojazz.org, for more profiles of jazz musicians with New Mexico ties. The Jazz of Enchantment radio series is engineered by Nola Daves Moses with help from Carol Boss. Web design and photography by Genevieve Russell. Support for the series comes from the New Mexico Humanities Council, the City of Albuquerque's Urban Enhancement Trust Fund, KUNM, and Good Radio Shows Incorporated. I'm Paul Ingalls.